So Scott Brownson, when he called me earlier in the week and asked if there'd be a possibility that these guys who are leading worship up at Clydehurst could come and lead worship, I just thought, hey, this is just a great opportunity. And so I want for you to be able to get to know them a little bit more. And so I'm going to just kind of turn over this part of the service to them. So welcome to Big Timber. We love having you guys here.
Thanks.
Thanks for allowing us to host you. And hey, just tell us a little bit about yourselves and this new work that you're doing with this new album that's out and how you guys met each other, because Big Timber kind of fits, well, up above Big Timber fits into the story a little bit. So I'm going to just turn it over to you guys, and you guys can take it.
Awesome. Sure. Well, good morning, everyone. So good to be with you guys. Thank you so much, Pastor Brian, for hosting us and having us and trusting us to lead your people in worship this morning. We are blessed to do it. Yeah, my name's Gary. This is my good friend Thomas, and we're a band called Holy Mountain. We've only been a band for about 9 months, but we've both been doing music ministry for a very long time. So I'll just give you a little background about where I'm from, and then Thomas will share a bit about where he's from, and then we'll let you know how we got together and started playing music as a band. My wife and I were born and raised in Cape Town in South Africa. That's why we talk funny. And we're from the, sometimes say we're from the deep south, so that's the southern accent you're hearing. And about 14 years ago, after school and after Bible college, I attended Bible college back in Cape Town, my friends and I started a band called Peculiar People, and we landed up signing a record contract with a record label in California called Maranatha Music. You guys may have heard of them. They're one of the first original Christian record labels. So we came over with them, and we did the touring thing. We were in the big bus or the van, and we traveled around the country for a couple of years. And then my wife and I started having babies, and we thought that we'd be fine, just take the baby on the road, throw him in the van. But that first tour we did with a little newborn made us decide otherwise, you know. So we actually quit the band, and I took the job as a worship pastor at a church down in Southern California, and I was there for 8 years. It was a wonderful season. We had all four of our kids during that time, and we loved the church, we loved the ministry, but about 3 years ago, we just kind of felt the Lord moving us into a new season. You know, when you just feel like a stirring, there's not a reason, you're not unhappy where you are, but you just feel like the Lord nudging you to step out into something new. And that's kind of how we felt. So at that time, we went, I quit my job at the church, and we went into more of a kind of itinerant ministry. We just have a heart for the church, so we just started traveling around to different churches, encouraging worship teams. So that's what we've been doing for the last 3 years. And then maybe 2 years ago, Thomas and I actually were at a conference in Montana, and that's where I met him. He came up with his dad, and I came up with some other guys, and we met each other and started writing songs. And then him and his wife and our family moved to Franklin, Tennessee, by some random events, and now we're in a band together. Sorry, that wasn't very well explained, but
that's the gist of it. We met up at Clydehurst there. We were doing a conference there. So it's a special place to us, and we get to be back there again this year, and it's special. So I'm Thomas. Hi. And I don't have the awesome accent, but I'm from south, like Colorado south, just straight down 25, and there you are. And born and raised in Loveland, Fort Collins area. And then I met my wife down in Denver, South Denver. I was working on a church, staff at a church down there for 6.5 years, and met my wife a couple years in, and then we served on the church staff for 4 years, and then we left kind of a leap of faith, and we'll share a little bit more about that, about Gary's kind of transition with that too, and leaving some familiarity and some steady income and trusting the Lord and knowing that he's going to provide, or hoping that he's going to provide, and sure enough, he always does. So we kind of left, 2 years ago, we left Denver and went on this journey of trusting the Lord and taking risks and all that stuff. And so in that time, that 2 year time is where I met Gary, came up for the conference, and the rest is history, I guess. Yeah. We play guitars. We don't really talk a whole lot. No, just checking.
So yeah, Thomas and I and our families, we just started hanging out together, and we just kind of created this community and bond with some other families. And Thomas and I, whenever we got together for a barbecue or whatever, we'd grab our guitars and we'd just start plucking around and we'd start writing songs. And before long, we had like a whole bunch of songs that him and I had written together. And then the Lord started giving us vision for these songs. He said, like, started just making us feel like he wanted to use these songs to bless other people. So that's where Holy Mountain started 9 months ago. We had our first gig, and we've been playing pretty much like, you know, almost every weekend, different places around the country, just encouraging churches and people. And the Lord's using the music. So we said, Lord, as long as you use it, we're going to keep doing it. So we're keeping doing it. This is a little song called Let Him Rise. It's just a little worship song, and we're going to play it for you.
Let him rise, let our praises rise to you. We're gonna worship something, you're the only one that's true. Lift our eyes, we will lift our eyes to you. We all look up to someone, you're the only one that's true. That we can see, but all that glitter made us bitter, never set us free. Oh no, we departed stubborn hearted, falling far from you, but loving kindness always finds us. You make broken new, make us new. So let him rise, let our praises rise to you. We're gonna worship something, you're the only one that's true. Lift our eyes, we will lift our eyes to you. All look up to someone, you're the only one that's true. Hallelujah, 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 you're the only one that's true. Something, you're the only one that's true. Lift our eyes, we will lift our eyes to you. We all look up to someone, you're the only one that's true.
This next song I'm going to share with you is called The Lion and the Fox. Not to be confused with The Lion and the Lamb, which is a different worship song. So this song is just a reminder to us not to give the enemy any kind of foothold in our lives, because he's kind of sneaky. He's trying to get in there, tries to find a weakness, and tries to come and wreak havoc. And his plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. So the Lord says that if we submit to the Lord and we resist the devil, that he will flee from us. So if there's any part of your life that's kind of a weakness, you know that you get tempted real easy, just shut that door. Totally close that avenue. If there's a place that you go that you know you get tempted, don't go there anymore. If there's something you look at that you get tempted, don't look at that. Shut that down. Bust that phone. Do whatever you got to do, but just close the door and don't let the enemy in. So the song's real simple, and you guys can sing it with us if you like. Shoot him with a gun. And if you saw a robber trying to break into your home, you'd hit him on the head with a hammer or your phone. We take care of our bodies, we take care of our things, but what about these hearts that we're giving to the King? I said, don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in. If you heard a fox telling you a lie, you would not believe him, cause you'd know that he was sly. You saw a serpent biting at your heels, you'd crush him with your foot, cause he's only come to steal. We take care of our bodies, we take care of our things, but what about these hearts that we're giving to the King? I said, don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in.
Come on, sing with us, don't let the enemy in.
I said, don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in.
Tell him, Tommy.
Treasure, and he gave it all to you just for your good and for your pleasure. In it there is peace and joy and freedom from your strife. Wouldn't you receive it and guard it with your life? You know this really happened, you've been given every blessing. Don't believe the devil's lies, no matter what he's dressed in. So don't let the enemy. Don't let the enemy in. Don't let the enemy in. Oh no, I won't let the enemy in. I won't let the enemy in. I won't let the enemy in.
Come on, sing with us. I won't let him in.
No, I won't let the enemy in. I won't.
Hey.
I won't let the enemy
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. We're going to just share one more song with you guys. And like I was sharing earlier, my wife and I, we worked at a church in Southern California. And it was really great. And then towards the end of that, like I said, we felt the Lord moving us on to a new season. And the way that kind of panned out is I started having this dream of selling everything, buying a big RV, and just traveling with the wife and kids around the country and just doing ministry and seeing the country and kind of just taking a wild step of faith and doing something crazy. So I shared this idea with my wife, thinking that she was going to shut me down, but she actually got excited by the idea. She was like, let's do this. It's going to be great. And I was like, wow, she's got a lot of faith. So we did exactly that. I quit my job at the church. I handed the worship ministry over to a good friend, and we did that. We sold everything, bought this big RV, homeschooled the kids, and we traveled around the country. It was about 9 months that we traveled. And I obviously don't have time to go into all the details of our trip, but the Lord really changed our lives on that year. I mean, we really got to see Him move in miraculous ways. Our kids got to see what it looked like to step out in faith, and they also got to see miracles firsthand. You know, you hear about a lot of great things that the Lord's doing, but when you really step out in faith and you need Him, you see Him come through. And that's the kind of thing we wanted to pass down to our kids, like a real faith, you know. So anyway, a life-changing experience, but it came only after we took that risk. And I want to encourage you guys, if there's something that the Lord's put on your heart, if you step out, He's not going to leave you hanging. He'll take care of you, and He'll provide for you, and He'll do some awesome things. So this song is about that trip, and it's called What's the Worst That Could Happen?
Always been a dream of mine to take a chance and let it ride, to hit the road and see where it might lead. But dreams like that, they vanish fast. Crazy thoughts like that don't last, especially when there's little mouths to feed. And then one night when we were dreaming, you looked up at me and said, what's the worst that could happen? We could lose everything. Then we'd have nothing to worry about, and you'd have some new songs to sing. Finally overcame our fears, packed it up and cried out tears, set out with the haziest of plans. We always said we trust the Lord to guide and to take care of us, but now we're really giving Him a chance. 'Cause on that night when we were dreaming, you looked up at me and said, what's the worst that could happen? We could lose everything. Then we'd have nothing to worry about, and you'd have some new songs to sing. What's the worst that could happen? I might have to sell my diamond ring, but we'd still have this love in our hearts, and you'd have some new songs, some new songs to sing. If I could give you some advice, live that dream and don't think twice, even if it means you might go broke. 'Cause all I have is one regret, all the times that I forget the truth in those words that she spoke. On the night when we were dreaming, she looked up at me and said, what's the worst that could happen? We could lose everything. Then we'd have nothing to worry about, and you'd have some new songs to sing. what's the worst that could happen? I might have to sell my diamond ring, but we still have this love in our hearts, and you'd have some new songs, some new songs to sing.
Thank you, guys. So we appreciate it. We really do. So, hey, Gary and Thomas, they have a table out there, and I'd really encourage you to stop there. It's interesting, in the first service, just before they sang this song right here, as I turned to Kyle and I said, hey, what's that one song? And I quoted a couple of the lyrics for him. He says, I don't know. I just heard it, but I don't know the name of it. And I was actually going to ask them to sing that song in the first service because I just felt like that it fit so well. But last night, my head was full of stuff, and I was thinking about way too many things. And so I needed to just kind of let some steam off. And so I went out. I'm working on a fence at my house, and I went out to dig a hole. And, you know, digging a hole in big timber takes a long time when you're digging it by hand. And so I went out, and I actually put on Holy Mountain. And I just needed to think for a little while. And you would not believe how much this music ministered to me, particularly that last song and the one about the lions and the foxes. Because, you know, I get caught up in a lot of things. You know, whether it's worrying about money things or worrying about stuff things or worrying about people things or whatever it is that I get caught up in worrying about a lot of things. And that's one of the things that the Lord has really been ministering to me about and really been saying is, Brian, I want you to find your significance in me, not in all of the other things that are going on. I mean, after all, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We might lose everything, but I can't sing, but I might have a story to tell at the end of it. But I've been thinking about that because we're called to put our trust in Him. We're called to put our trust in Jesus, not in all of the things or the stuff or the people, all of that kind of stuff. We're called to put our trust in Him. And there's been a verse in particular that's been ministering to me, just has been encouraging to me. But with that is that encouragement is, hey, find your identity in who I am and what I've done for you, because I've given you everything that you really need in Jesus Christ. And so you find your identity in me, because that's when you find what you really need. Seek Him first, remember, and then everything else that you need is going to fall into the right place. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And that's hard to do because there are all of these distractions. And I was thinking about it. And you know, the truth is that if the enemy can find a weakness in our lives, if he can find something to kind of get our focus on, then that's where he's going to attack us. That's where he's going to distract and attack us is he's going to kind of get us to focusing on those other things so that we find our significance in those things instead of in Jesus Christ. And that's what happens with so many people. It happens with me. But, you know, life is not about all of the things. The things will fall into the right place at the right time, but it's not about all of the things. It's about Jesus. And it's about becoming more like him so that we can manifest him for others. So that we can take this identity that we have in Christ and we can live in it. We can say, God, you're so awesome and you're so good because you are the one that makes me good. You make me good. And you know, when we find our identity in Jesus, it takes away all of those other things that get in the way. It takes away all of the selfishness and all of the fear and all of the despair, because all of a sudden we're focused on him. And we can say is, those attacks come and we're tempted or we're struggling with things or the enemy's attacking. And we can just say to the enemy is, hey, back off. I'm made for better things. I'm made for better things because of what he's done for me. I'm made for better things. And my significance comes from him. And so here's the verse that's been encouraging me is John 1:29. It's one verse, but it's a verse that I've read so many times. And it's a verse that, you know, you can easily read over the top of and you can say, hey, yeah, that's neat. But no, it's more than neat. It's life-changing if you really, really think about it. Because in John 1:29, It says that John the Baptist sees Jesus walking towards him, and he says to the crowd, because there's a crowd gathered and he's baptizing people, and he sees Jesus, and as Jesus walks up to him, he says these words, and it's one sentence, but it's powerful. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin." Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin. And to me, is that just hit me so hard, because it's like, as you know, when you think about it, is our greatest enemy is first and foremost within. And then we have the outside enemy, the devil and this spiritual world that we can't really see, but it's always there and it's always attacking. But behold the Lamb of God who takes away what we don't want, what we shouldn't want. He takes away the sin. He takes it away, and then what do we get in return is we get Jesus. He takes away what we most need to get rid of, and then he gives us what we most need. He gives us himself so that we can know him. And you know, the truth is that, you know, sometimes we're just working too hard at this being a Christian stuff, and the truth is we don't have to work hard. You don't have to bite your lip to be a Christian. Kind of like, I got to work harder. I got to do more. No, he's done the work. And he's good. And he's awesome. And so every time you feel a little bit defeated, every time you feel like that lion's attacking, like the foxes, the Song of Solomon says, the foxes getting into the vineyard and destroying the vineyard. When you feel attacked, when you feel like just things are going bad or things are being destroyed, you can actually say as you know, as I have one that's won the victory. And because he's won the victory, it's not my victory, it's his victory, but I get the benefits of it. And I have one who paid everything so that I could have everything, and that he actually gives me the significance that I so desperately desire. He gives me the identity that I so desperately need. And you know, the things that hinder me, he takes them away. And what hinders me more than sin? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away my sin, your sin. And so we don't need to focus on the sin anymore. Why? Because he takes it away. And so we don't have to focus on it. In fact, if we focus on it, we're more likely to do it. And so behold the Lamb of God, behold Jesus. And when we behold him, we don't have to behold all of the money things and all of the stuff things and all of the people things, because we have Jesus and he's good. And he makes all things good. And when we find ourselves in him, we find that we were created for way better and way more. We were created for better things. And so we can look at the attacks. We can look at our personal sin, and we can look at the attacks that come from the enemy, and we can just say, hey, we're made for better things. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to worry about the sin, because you take it away, and I can just give it to you, and you take it away, and I am made for better things, and I'm made for better things because you made me that way. You made me that way. And so I trust in you, and this week I'm going to go out to live for you, because, Lord, it's all about becoming more like you so that I can manifest you for others. And so, Lord, thank you that I'm made for better things. Thank you for creating me new. Creating me new and giving me a new identity and a new purpose, and that I can worship you and I can glorify you. And so, Lord, thank you for all of these things. And I'm going into the week and I'm excited, because I'm made for better things. I'm made for better things than worry. Because what does worry get you? It just gets you a heart attack. It just gets you anxiety. I'm made for better things than worry. I'm made for better things than sin. Sin might bring temporary pleasure, but you bring eternal bliss. And so I'm made for better things. And Lord, I just want to press into it. I want to press into it at home, and I want to press into it in my community. I want to press it in my world, because, Lord, the world's focused on a lot of temporary things, but I'm made for better things. And so, you know, after all, what's the worst that can happen, right? Guys, thanks for giving me a sermon. And guess what? It's the shortest one I've ever preached. What a deal, huh? I can't believe it. They clapped in the first service for that, too. Let's stand. Father and Lord God, thanks for all that you do for us. Lord, thanks that we are made for better things. Lord, thanks that we receive newness in Jesus. Lord, thanks that we're changed, and that we're forever new, and that we've got a better life to live and better things to focus on because of you. Lord, thanks that we have one. We have the Lamb of God. We have Jesus who comes to take away my sin and the sin of the world. And so, Jesus, just continue to take it and help us to be your righteousness. Help us to just receive your righteousness. We receive it, Lord. Help us to live in it. Help us to live in those better things. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.